Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, from Nashville, Tennessee, and joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I am doing really, really well. I'm excited about this show. We've got some great guests that are joining us, great information, and some great music. So let's jump in and tell folks who we have joining us today.
Well, today on the show, we have the Trailmeister, Robert Eversole. Then we travel to Bowles, Arkansas, and talk with Mitzi Stevens, owner of Idle Nook Horse Camp.
All right. So, I mean, this is our Trailmeister. This is what did you call him not too long ago? Our own Trailmeister. So we're happy to have Robert on the show.
Our own Trailmeister.
So we're looking forward to all the great information that we're going to be sharing with Robert today. And we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian and Western lifestyle. And you'll find them in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And by our great show sponsors, TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trail. You can learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. And by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And, you know, Tina Mae, I am really excited about the fact that we're only 6 weeks away from Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Ride and Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And just found out today we've got folks that are coming from as far away across the country as Oregon and Canada. And so we want to remind folks to visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, find out about all of the events that are taking place and how you can get involved in this fundraiser at equestrianlegacy.net. But right now, grab a deep seat, get a big cup of coffee, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Robert Eversole. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I always have liked a little bit of Tabasco sauce on my eggs in the morning, and so I got the idea for this song called Louisiana Hot Sauce. Is the heat turned up? Is it warm in here? I'm already sipping on another cold beer.
Well, that's a little Joni Harms to start the show off with her Oregon to Ireland live CD, and that's Louisiana Hot Sauce. You guys like hot sauce in your eggs?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Hot sauce is good, and no matter what it's on, eggs or whatnot, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. But anyway, we've got a fun show, and I didn't want to get Tina thinking too much about food before we got started. But anyway, a great song to kick off the show. Hey, Robert, I want to ask you before we get started to give us an update on Boo. How's he doing?
Boo has new tricks. He is. We've been working on not only the sit and the lay down and the roll over, but he's starting to get the hang of fetch. He's always been great at the getting of the balls and the sticks, but he's starting to bring it back, I guess, instead of it's the big game to keep it away from Daddy.
Right. Well, we want to keep up with what's happening with Boo with his training. And are you getting to sleep a little bit at night? Are you still having to get up for those 4 o'clock go outside deals?
No, he has been wonderful, and he goes in his little kennel on his own at night, which is wonderful, and he sleeps through the night. So I haven't had to get up in the middle of the night for quite a while, and I'm not complaining about that at all.
I can understand. Well, we've got a pretty serious subject that we want to talk about today, and I think we call this "What Happens." What do you do when bad things happen to good people when they're out on the trail? And let's talk just a little bit about how we need to be prepared for those things that might be unexpected when we get out, and then maybe what we do if those things do happen.
I think we can do that, but heavens, that might take, you know, the whole hour plus. there's so many things, you know, that can happen. And you know, while bad things can happen to good people, I think it's important to remember that, you know, the probability of those bad things happening, you know, or, you know, can be quite low. That's not to say that we shouldn't be prepared, because the ramifications of those bad things can be quite high. So if we put those two together, you know, what is the probability, and then, you know, what is the result of one of these, you know, that kind of helps me decide, you know, what I want to worry about most. So, for example, you know, we hear horror stories. I'm sure we all have some about a trail ride gone bad. Gary, I'm sure you do, and Tina, would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean,
you know, we've all got that.
Yeah, Tina May cracked some ribs last year when she was out on just a short ride. I've cracked ribs riding out in the front yard. So I mean, it doesn't have to happen out in the back country. It can be happening in the front country.
Exactly.
And just, yeah. So
so how do we prepare, you know, in case that should happen, you know, and what kind of things, you know, do we need to, you know, spend the time being worried about? So, you know, some of those things are, you know, thunderstorms, lightning. You know, lightning scares the daylights out of me.
Right.
You know, you're in the backcountry, you know, riding the mountains, and heavens, even not, and a thunderstorm comes up. You know, what do you do? You know, if and in the summertime with pop-up storms and the like, if you wait for a day that there's no chance of a storm, you might not get a lot of riding in over the summer. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So, you know, but what if that storm does roll up? You know, what can we do to protect us as best we can, knowing that we're never going to completely eliminate risk? You know, in the case of thunderstorms, you know, you'll see me skedaddle off a ridgetop in a real hurry. You know, if I should, you know, see some dark clouds coming or hear some rumbles, because that's, you know, the worst place I want to be. you know, and things like that. Stay away from you know, single trees. You know, get down, you know, on the side of a valley and amongst a lot of trees to help, you know, disperse the targets, I guess. But at the same time, you know, if I think we have a better chance of winning the lotto than we have of getting hit by lightning if we just look at the statistics. So I don't let that fear really hold me back. Does that make some sense? You know,
well, we can't.
Actually,
we can't.
I agree
yeah,
with
we can't.
That.
No, go ahead, Tina.
But I have to say, well, I was going to say the last couple years. And I don't know what it is, but I have heard of more trail riders and horses being struck by lightning than I ever have. And it's just been kind of a weird thing the last couple of years. Last year there were several.
And so it certainly happens.
Yeah, well, let's talk about a couple of things that happen if you're out in the on the trail. And one of those thunderstorms pops up. So, yeah, get down to a lower area if you can.
Low ground.
But if you've gotten caught out in that storm, I think one of the things that people need to think about is probably get off your horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're out there in a lightning storm, get off the horse. Those things usually don't last that long. And it's been suggested that maybe you kind of get into a crouching position so that you're even lower to the ground.
Yeah, the National Weather Service has a lot of great tips, and especially that kind of thing. The whole idea is to be, you know, we don't want to be the tallest thing around, so get off that animal. And let's face it, if my horse is any indication of others, you know, when that first good thunderclap comes, I don't want to be on his back anyway. I might come off real quick.
Right.
You know, so you know, if you're stuck in that storm, get off, not just to make yourself less of a lightning rod, but to just be safe, you know, so the horse doesn't freak out with you on it and you fall off.
Right.
And, you know, stay away from, you know, I saw, it was a scary picture where lightning had struck a fence line and a herd of cows had lined up along this fence line, and that electrical current went down the fence line and killed all the cows. So they're all dead, laying in a row.
Right,
so
right.
I put that in my little Trailmeister, you know, mental folder and said, I don't want to be any place near metal or fence lines.
Well, the other
thing,
or
for that matter, streams, water. I don't want to be, you know, in a puddle.
Right. And that's one of the things that if you're out on the trails, you're more likely to encounter probably than fences, and that would be water crossings, because that lightning can strike a tree in the distance and run through the root system and into the stream. And I had some friends that encountered that problem a few years ago up in the Big South Fork, and unfortunately one person lost his life and his horse, and the folks that were with him survived that, but it was a scary thing. So really, if you're caught, and this is the time of year when we have a lot of the storms that are back here in the southeast where they'll pop up, you really need to stay away from that water.
Exactly. Anything that's gonna conduct electricity, and let's face it, we're what, 80% water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So stay down low. Stay away from other stuff that conducts as well. Lightning scares me.
A lot of people use steel shoes on the horses, and that's something to think about too.
I will respectfully disagree with you, Tina May.
Okay. You mean yes, there are several barefoot and several boot people. You're right.
I use steel because it works. You know, on my shoes. But I did, for a recent magazine column, actually it's this month's Trailblazer, I did a bunch of research, got a hold of NOAA, the National Oceanic, the weather folks, the National Weather Service, to see if there is any data at all about, you know, steel shoes on horses attracting electricity. And I'm not going to say there isn't any correlation, but none has been identified. And until we have hard data, we can't really say it's, you know, yay or nay, it's true or not true, that shoes on horses attract lightning.
I know I wouldn't want to walk around with steel shoes in a lightning storm. I've had some rubber soles.
No kidding.
I haven't looked it up. I haven't done any kind of research or anything else like that. I think that's just something that just comes from other things that attract electricity, you know, steel rods
exactly.
and things like that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say what I do do.
Go ahead, Gina. Whatever it is that you're going to say.
I was just going to say that when I've been stuck in storms, I get off the horse and I'll tie the horse up and I don't stand real close to the horse. You know, if I'm in a thunderstorm, I'll tie the horse someplace, one, to make sure he stays where I leave him. And then I'll find another little clump of trees. So I don't want to, well, I'm not going to say that they do, shoes do attract lightning. I'm not going to be one to test it either.
You're
well,
a wise
I don't,
man.
I don't tie him out. I keep my horse with me. And I have gotten caught in a horrible thunderstorm that wasn't, first of all, before I go riding, I try to check the weather. So if there's any chance of any kind, I don't mind riding in the rain. I can ride in the rain all day long. But if there's thunderstorms and lightning and thunder, I choose not to go. However, I've had a couple storms pop up and I was out in it. And I do keep the horse with me. I do not tie my horse to a tree just because, you know, trees, I don't want the lightning striking the tree that my horse is tied on. However, I do try to get in a low-lying area. I kind of, you know, if you can feel the lightning, you can hunker down into that little ball that they say to go down into. I haven't really had to do that. But cave, if you can find a cave or something like that, would be good. But not everybody has those. So just trying to get down into the low-lying area, pay attention to where the water is, stay away from the water, and hide tall trees and things like that. That's what I did.
There
All right,
go.
Well, that's pretty cool information about the lightning. So people just need to be careful and do a little research in advance about how you need to handle that situation. Some good hints during this segment. We're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors, and that's TrailGuard 24-hour roadside travel assistance. With unlimited vehicle towing to get you to your trailer and your horses home or to your destination, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination for the trip, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip, and much, much more. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at TrailGuard.org. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what we need to be doing to stay safe on the trails, and we may find out a little bit about our Legacy Club. But you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Cowboy out on the stormy plains. When I was a cowboy out on the stormy plains, the only hell that I ever raised, he's a pulling on my bridle reins. Yippee-ko-ma-tie-ya, yippee-ko-ma-tie-ya, yippee-yi-yay. Out on the cow trail, the dusty billows rise. Out on the cow trail, the dusty billows rise. We're 50 miles from water. The grass is scorched and dry. Komataya, yippee komataya, yippee-yi-yi. Well, I've been where the lightning tangled in my eyes. I've been where the lightning tangled in my eyes. I heard the trail boss holler, hope you ain't afraid to die. Komataya, yippee komataya, yippee-yi-yi. Falling, chilled down to the bone. There's a cold rain a-falling, chilled down to the bone. The devil rode the nightmare, you ought to hear him moan. Komataya, yippee komataya, yippee-yi-yay. It's well I work for wages, boy, to get my pay in gold. It's well I work for wages, boys, I get my pay in gold. I'm bound to follow the longhorn cows until I am too old. Komataya, yippee komataya, yippee-yi-yi. So come all you cowboys, don't you wanna go? Come all you cowboys and don't you wanna go? Just whooping up the cattle out in the heat and cold. Komataya, yippee komataya, yippee-yi-yi.
Don Edwards, When I Was a Cowboy, and that is from his CD, Just Me and My Guitar. And Tina May, tell us a little bit about our Legacy Club right quick.
Oh, I sure will. Our Legacy Club membership is free. The benefits and discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors, Select Campgrounds, Dude Ranches, and Western Vacations, are great benefits. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawings, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawing, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right, and it's kind of exciting. This morning, Jerry Carey, who won the Hydro Horse system last year, posted pictures of his new system installed. And he's pretty excited. So he's getting ready to head out west and travel some, and he's just excited to be able to use that. So be sure and visit our website and enroll in the Legacy Club, and you might win your own Hydro Horse system at the end of the year with our drawing for our Legacy Club members. Hey, Robert, I'm getting ready to go trail riding. What should I make sure that I do besides load the horse? What should I do to be
saddle's
safe?
Generally helpful.
Saddle's a good thing.
I would imagine you're talking about, you know, those types of things that we want to carry with us, you know, for the just in cases, since we just got done talking about, you know, the bad things that can happen. You know, what can we carry to make those bad times a little less bad? And for that, you know, I do a lot of backcountry riding, wilderness type areas. That's what I really like. But even with that, most of my rides wind up being front country. This time of the year, I can't go up high, so I'm all over my local county parks. You know, I'm a front country rider, you know, this time of the year. But what
right.
I take, you know, for those in cases is pretty much the same kind of stuff. I like to say or consider that, you know, even a front country ride can turn into something really hairy and backcountry-like in a heartbeat. So what do I want if I'm hurt and off my horse? What do I want? What do I need to get me through, you know, potentially, you know, an overnight situation until help gets there? And I think one of the first things, you know, isn't even, it doesn't weigh anything. It doesn't take up any room in your saddlebags. It's tell somebody where you're riding or you know, have a plan, somebody responsible, you know, let them know where you're going and about what time you can you should be back.
Right.
You know, that has saved more people than you can imagine. You know, hey, Rob went for a ride, he didn't come back, you know, where did he go? And, you know, maybe we can avert something worse. You know, another great thing is go ride with somebody. You know, I probably shouldn't be the one to talk because I really like to ride by myself a lot.
me too.
You know, I do. My wife, mm-hmm. my much better half, gets on me a fair bit. You shouldn't do that, and she's right. It's not nearly as safe as going with somebody. But sometimes I just need some Rob time.
Right.
So I'm not going to say it's good nor bad, but it's certainly a lot safer to ride with somebody else, a riding partner, a riding buddy. And those things, you know, they don't take up any room in your saddlebag at all. And at least you got somebody to talk to on the trail, unless
That's
you talk
right.
too
well,
much like me.
And, you know, and if you're going to ride by yourself, especially if you're going to ride by yourself, I think what you said to begin with, it's very important to let somebody know where you're going and what time to expect you back. And
mm-hmm.
at least they can send some help, you know, if you don't show up when you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's some other things, too. You know, with it's funny, you know, I've got some saddles out there designed, and it, you also have one out there. And people always ask me, because everybody knows I pack a gun. And so they ask me, well, why didn't you put a gun holster on my saddle? There's a perfectly good reason why I didn't do that. There's several things, because I want the gun on my person. I want my cell phone on my person. My GPS
you are so
I also like to keep
right.
with me. And then I have a lot of people, I've got this little pommel bag that sits in front of the horn in the saddle. And a lot of people have told me they love that because they keep their EpiPen in there. And I will come back and I will tell them, you can keep one in there, but make sure you have one on your person as well. Because if you
mm-hmm.
have them, those kind of allergies, you want the EpiPen on your person. And I think those things are so important not to have on your saddle in case you have a runaway or in case you get knocked in the head or passed out or whatever happens in the situation, there are certain things that you want on your person, not on your horse.
You are so right. Anything, the way I think of it is anything I need to get through the night, you know, uncomfortably. I'm not talking, you know, glamping here. I'm talking, you know, to survive, I want on me or to summon help. I want on me. My cell phone never leaves. I carry what's called a personal locator beacon when
mm-hmm.
I ride. You know, that stays in my pocket. I've actually, I did start at one point. I have a fishing vest. I just keep this stuff on my little fishing vest. You know, it doesn't
a whistle
take up
too.
Much room at all, and it works. I've heard other people carry, like, little backpacks or hip belts, but whatever you think you're going to need to make it through the night, if all else fails, needs to be on you,
mm-hmm.
unless you've got one heck of a great horse, and I haven't seen one yet. My
it's
guy
a
will
live
leave
animal.
Me in a heartbeat.
It's a live animal. You never know.
Hey, Robert, talk
yes.
to us just a little bit about this locator device that you're talking about.
Oh, the personal locator beacon.
Yeah.
It is We've all heard of the black boxes that airplanes carry, right?
Right.
This is the land-based equivalent of that. They operate through the satellites, PLBs, the personal locator beacons. They operate from the search and rescue satellite constellation, which is a military satellite system. And when all else fails, when the shit hits the fan, you press the button, signal will go up to the satellites, back down to an Air Force coordination center, who in turn immediately contacts your local emergency services to help get help on the way. They're terribly accurate. They use GPS technology, like we said, through the satellites.
Uh-huh.
So they can narrow down your location to within a number of meters to get help for when you really, really need it.
What kind of cost are we looking at?
A PLB, it varies. They're a little bit spendy. Mine was around $250. But the beauty of a PLB is that there are no annual fees. You pay it once and you're done. As opposed to a satellite messenger system, so Spot, Find Me Spot, which is quite popular, as well as the Delorme system. Delorme is InReach, I believe, if I have the terms right. Those are satellite messengers. And those do have an annual fee for the various features. So if you forget to pay your bill, you can press the button all you want and help's not on the way.
Gotcha.
So that's one of the reasons why I went with the PLB. We could talk about it more probably at a different date, because there's a whole lot of acronyms and a whole lot of stuff for people to know before, for them to make an educated decision for themselves. Because what I chose for me, I chose for me. Other people
right.
may have different
mm-hmm.
needs.
Right. Well, that sounds like a great item to include in your kit, because if something does happen, particularly if you're riding alone, I would think, but even
mm-hmm.
if you're riding with someone and someone had to go back and try to get help, at least it helps to locate you if something happens.
Oh, it does. And even a front country ride, a lot of times cellular reception just isn't there, even, at your local county park. So those devices are just worth their weight in gold. And mine stays, in my pocket right next to the cell phone.
Wonder if they make something like that you can attach to your horse. This last year it seems like there have been an awful lot
mm-hmm.
of horses that have been lost in some of our national park systems. Do you know if they make anything like that to attach to a horse?
I believe Spot has a tracking device.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen pictures, but it, I guess you could screw it maybe to the back of your cantle.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen, heard a little bit about them. I've never tried one. I think the big thing, if you attached it to your horse somehow like that, is how are you going to turn it on unless it's always on? You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well,
I don't know.
Well, Tina May is our inventor, and so, Tina May, there's another project we can work on.
There you go, Tina May.
That's a very good idea, actually.
That would make you a fortune, but
they make them for dogs.
I don't know
why you couldn't use the same thing for a dog on a horse. Just figure out a way to attach it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sometimes you don't. When something's working, sometimes you just need to think outside the box and just use the same thing that's already out there, but it's got good uses in other areas. And I think that would be a great idea.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the phone and the locator signal. I don't remember the letters that you use for all
personal
of that.
Personal locator.
PLB.
Personal locator beacon. I want to look that up. That's kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. But what else would it be handy to have?
What else always stays in Rob's pockets? A knife. If we're around horses, you got to have a knife.
Right.
And not just to cut a lead in a hurry if you have to, but all great tool. I have a tiny little first aid kit that always stays in my pockets. Half the time I use it because I'm a lousy fisherman, and I wind up, you know, putting hooks through fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that this coming year, Tina.
I will.
So a first aid kit, you know, that is really important. A map, you know, maps fold up right small. It's not so much that I care where I'm at, but I care about where I'm at in relation to where I want to get to, which is generally the trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
My horse leaves, that map is worthless to me unless it's on me. You know, so that. You'll never find me, you know, I think I'm probably worse than Tina May, but I will always have a couple candy bars on me. You know, they can make a long night go a little bit better. You know, so that kind of thing. Always have a way to make a fire if I need.
Right.
You know, and not only does a fire just make everything better, it's also a great signaling device, you know, in case the worst
pockets
were to happen. I do. And really, I mean, none of this stuff is super big or bulky. You know, a match is wee tiny, you know, wee tiny times five. It's not a big thing. Probably the biggest, bulkiest thing that I carry, even if it's dry out, I always carry my rain slicker, my big, long, yellow, waterproof rain slicker. And that, you know, I don't carry that on my little vest, and I carry it, you know, on me if it's raining. If not, it's, you know, tied to the back. But, you know, those big, long rain slickers, you know, heavens, they're wonderful. Not only will they keep the rain off of you, but they're pretty warm, you know, if the weather were to drop, you know. And your bootlaces, you could probably turn it into a wee little tent if you needed, you know. But just something, you know, a little bit of insulation, a little bit of shelter, you know, that type of thing. But that's the biggest thing that – bulkiest thing that I carry, I think. You know, my map is wee tiny. You know, it folds up wee tiny. The PLB is about the size of a deck of cards. You know, the cell phone, well, we know how tiny cell phones are. I think cell phones are too tiny anymore, I've decided. I can't press the buttons.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember.
I was going to mention something about the maps as well. And, of course, I should practice what I'm preaching here, but I think it's a really good idea that if you know where you're going and you have a map out of the area, it's a really good idea to highlight the area where you're riding and leave it in your truck, because your truck will be parked out there, and if you don't come back, you know, they can get into your truck and then possibly find where you may be or retrack your traces, your tracks of what you rode that day. And if there's a bad injury, they can find you that way as well.
Yeah, what I usually do, especially if I go out by myself or if I'm going out even with others, you know, for a longer period, I'll put together an itinerary that I'll email to, you know, a responsible person, you know, Celeste, you know, my wife, or someone else, as well as print off a copy and put it in the truck. This is, you know, where I'm going, this is how long I'm planning on staying. Another thing that I always make sure to include with that, and it stays the same, you know, for the most part, are any medical conditions that I might have, things that could help a first responder, you know, what they would want to know, you know, if a healthy person goes out and they don't come back, you know, they're probably going to wait, you know, until, you know, first light, until it's safer for the first responders to go out. You know, and again, it varies on situation, where if somebody who they know is a diabetic is not coming back, they're going to start looking a heck of a lot sooner and a heck of a lot harder. Does that make sense? So anything that we can provide information-wise, you know, to those first responders. So medical conditions, I on mine, I always, you know, have at the bottom. You know, I'm carrying a sidearm with me, you know, just to let them know that, you know, hey, he can probably, you know, make it through the night on his own, hopefully.
Yeah, everybody's going to put that they're a diabetic on that little paper now that they leave in their truck.
You know, I never thought about that. Maybe I should.
Oh, gosh. Hey, we want to take just another real quick break and come back and talk more with Robert. And, hey, this is some good information that we're getting here because it's really important to stay safe when you're out on the trails. We all love to get out and enjoy this great country that God's given us, but we want to come back home safely. And so we'll be back in just a moment. We remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Information, Robert, that you and Tina May have both been sharing with our audience. What is your article that's coming up? I know you've just written an article about some trail safety.
Well, your guest next week, Susanna Gibson, from Trailblazer. Heavens, I guess it was last year. She asked me to put together an ongoing series. I think it's every quarter, four times a year, and it's called the Trail Survival Challenge. And readers send in, Trailblazer readers, or actually we got to have listeners. That should be, it's my column, I can do what I want, right?
There you go.
We should have listeners send in their trail questions. You know, hey, I was riding along, what do I do if? And since I'm a lot of things, but I am not a talking head, or at least I try not to be. Tina may, and you may disagree, but what I am pretty good at is I've got a pretty full Rolodex. And so for this last month, for April, the Trail Survival Challenge, I got together, people sent in their questions. One of them was about whitening, what do we do? And I got together with a gentleman named John Hayes, and he teaches wilderness survival. And he doesn't teach wilderness survival to just anybody. He teaches wilderness survival to the pros. So Air Force personnel, he teaches them how to survive, if the worst should happen and their flying birds, land someplace they're not supposed to.
Right.
But he teaches, like I said, to Air Force personnel. He's done it for 30-some years. You know, the guy's been there, done that. And the other person that I got for the April edition was a woman named Barb. And she not only is one of my favorite barefoot trimmers, but she had one of these horror stories that we hear about. She came off of her mule, and it wasn't necessarily a terrible backcountry kind of expedition. It was a day ride. She and some friends were going to a hot springs, and something happened. Her mule came up. She came down, and she broke her hip, the giant bone that goes into your hip, femur.
Yeah, right, right.
And she wound up laying on the side of the trail on a mountain for, I think it was just under 24 hours a day, a really, really long day and overnight. But she had a PLB with her. Two people from the group stayed with her, and she had a rain slicker that she wrapped around her to stay warm. They had a couple bottles of water, And I think, if I remember the story, they had a flashlight. The flashlights that go over your truck key so you can see your
right,
your lock on your car. That was the flashlight they had.
Now is that story in the April issue of Trailblazer?
It references the story. If you go to here we can Google this. JustADayRide.com is John and Barb's website.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I want to encourage folks to do that and follow Robert in because he writes for a lot of different magazines. As most of our listeners already know, he has a fantastic website, and so I'd encourage you to do that. Of course, Susanna's going to be on next week, and she would encourage me to encourage everyone out there to pick up Trailblazer magazine because it's a great magazine, and Robert is one of her most valued writers, as she's expressed before.
It's getting deep in here now, Gary.
Yeah, it's getting pretty deep. But anyway, why don't you tell us where they can find you on your website?
If you were to go to www.trailmeister, trail MEISTER, the German spelling, .com, it'll pull up my website, and we are the largest horse trail and horse camping area directory in the world now. I'm kind of pumped about it. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And on it, you can search for, you know, do I want a place where I can camp? Do I want to find places with lots of miles, places with restrooms, that type of thing? And one way that Trailmeister is different from other trail directories, I've kind of stopped calling myself a trail directory. I consider us more a guide. But before anything goes live on the website, either myself or one of my trail bosses, we have a conversation, an actual conversation on the phone with the land manager. So before I got on the phone with you, I was talking with the rec ranger at the Ouachita National Forest in Arkansas, because I wanted to learn more about that area and, you know, where are equines, you know, not only allowed but welcomed. And I like my website. I think it's a good resource.
you've got a great website.
Our listeners will have to decide for themselves.
Yeah, you've got a great website as well as a Facebook page, so visit Robert Trailmeister Eversole on Facebook and visit his website. And Robert, we're gonna say bye at now, and when we come back, we're gonna be talking with Mitzi Stevens from Idle Nook Horse Camp in Arkansas. But one of the things that you didn't talk about adding was Grit, Grace, and Baling Twine. And so we're going to listen to Mary Kay's Grit, Grace, and Baling Twine. She even talks about duct tape in this song. And you are always such a great guest and such great information, and we look forward to talking with you very, very soon, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day and a great month.
All right. Talk to you soon. And you are listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Two kinds of folks, the ones that wear boots and the ones that don't. I believe, darling, you and me hold steady in the boots category. Goodbye, city life and 9-to-5 living. Our corporate meetings are held in our kitchen. You can't beat our sweet retirement plan. Don't get sick, work as long as you can. This is how we hang and rattle, raising our kids and under neon lights. Our life's a good kind of crazy. Keep it together, you and me, baby. 'Cause the trick of the trade with life and wine is grit, grace, and baling twine. They said to make a pair, you gotta roll with the seasons. Make do or do without, know when to sell, when to keep them. Our best insurance is in making do with duct tape, utter balm, and super glue.
That's Mary Kay's Grit, Grace, and Baylen Twine, and that's a rough cut from her new CD that is yet to be released. But we're going to travel to the natural state right now, Arkansas, and we want to welcome to the show Mitzi Stevens, the owner of Idle Nook Horse Camp in Bowles, Arkansas. Hi, Mitzi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good morning, Mitzi.
Hi, Tina.
Hey, we are looking forward to finding out more about Idle Nook and all the great facilities that you have there. And trails in the Wachita National Forest. But why don't you share with our audience, Mitzi, how you got started with Idle Nook?
Sure. Jack and I, that's my husband, we have always ridden horses, and we would go on week-long trail rides up in North Arkansas. We've been all over. And we've got groups of friends that always like to ride with us from Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi. And we were just looking for property to purchase just as an investment, but we always wanted it. We always try to get it where we could be able to ride our horses there also. And so we saw this land for sale on our way to look at some other property for sale, and we just fell in love with it. It's actually beautiful riding in that area, and one thing led to another. We purchased the property, and not with the intentions doing it for a business, just for us and our friends to ride, and people would come ride, and they'd say, well, if you would have more campsites or more plug-ins, we would know this group that would like to come. And so one thing led to another. So it's just something we've always loved to do and having fun at it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I know Tina wanted to ask about the facilities itself there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that is what I'm going to ask you. Why don't you describe your facilities and what all you have there at Idle Nook Horse Camp?
We have 24 water and electric hookups. We have 50 stalls. About 42 of those are covered stalls, so the majority of our stalls are covered. We have about 4 pull-through sites. All of our sites are very easy to get in and out of. We've got a brand-new 30-by-60 enclosed log-sided pavilion that has a complete kitchen for the guest use, and it has new bathrooms and shower houses. We have a couple, like a bunkhouse or a couple of other places that you can stay if you don't have a living quarters trailer or anything to stay in.
Mm-hmm. So you got a bunkhouse and you have a cabin as well, correct?
Yes, ma'am. We've got a bunkhouse that has 2 twin beds, and then we have a little cabin that has a queen-size bed, and in that one it actually has its own shower and restroom and a little kitchen area.
Oh, that's nice. Now, how many do they sleep?
The bunkhouses, it's just 2 twin beds, and then that one just has the 1 queen bed in it. Now, there would be room probably that we've got like a little love seat in there, and you could probably in the other one, if you wanted to squeeze one more person in, if you had a sleeping bag or something like that, you could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got
and
a
you had
table
mentioned.
In there.
Oh no, go ahead.
No,
you had mentioned. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
I got a
go
delay
ahead.
In there. Okay. No, you had also mentioned yesterday, because most places in Arkansas that I ride, there are no cell services. Although sometimes I think that's a plus.
Right.
But you actually have cell phone service there.
We do. We have excellent cell phone service. We are at the base of Buck Knob Mountain there in the Wachita National Forest, and we have excellent cell phone service, excellent internet connections if you have your smartphones. So you can, and on most of the trails out there, you have good phone service. So that works out great.
Wow. Yes, it does. That kind of goes in with what we were talking about in the beginning about safety. There you have cell phone service. You can get out on your phone.
You
in case
bet.
There's a problem.
You bet.
Well, that's great. Well, let's talk about the trails.
Okay.
Kind of let our listeners know that aren't familiar with the area how many miles of trails that you have, or I know it's endless, and about the terrain.
Okay. There are over 130 miles of trails that are marked trails. We mark our trails with the different color-coded ribbons, and we provide maps so that you can follow them. Then, of course, it's national forest, so you can ride on your own. You're not restricted in Arkansas here. You're not restricted where you can get off the trails. You can ride where you want to. Our trails join what used to be Mill Creek. They had a little campground there, and now it's Bush Mountain Trails, and our trails link to theirs. There is all kinds of terrain. If you want to stay on the more flatter ground, you can. But the majority of it is going to be your mountain riding. I don't mean steep mountain. I mean the kind you can enjoy. We have the
beautiful.
Yes, we have scenery that is just gorgeous. We have many places you can go to that you can just see. Oh, forever. It's just gorgeous. You just see mountain range upon mountain range. We have waterfalls, several of those, creek crossings. There are some old abandoned silver mines that years ago when they would mine for silver. There is any kind of riding that you would like. It is Arkansas, so you do need shoes on your horses, though.
Mhm. Mhm. I always thought, you know, Arkansas was like a little mini version of Colorado. It's just beautiful and got the Ozark Mountains that I call them.
You just cannot beat it. Now we are in the Ouachita Mountain Range for us, but we would be in the northern part of it. But it is the Ouachita Mountain Range.
Wow. Wow. What about? Go ahead, Gary. You're getting ready.
Well, no, I just started to say we need to pay a bill just real quickly and take just a real quick break. And when we come back, we want to talk more with Mitzi. I want to find out exactly where you're located. And for folks that maybe are not trail riders, what else there is to do around there. But right now we want to talk about Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store with their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana. Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Mitzi and Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, I know you can't imagine riding on alone, carrying on this ranch on your own. Now the winds of change are blowing, winter's setting in, and you look like you have lost your best friend. Feeling like the good times are all gone. Wonder if it's time for moving on. Like the spirit rider's coming on a white horse through the sky. Give your horse a head and run in. Brother, don't ever ask why. I'm the angel on your shoulder. I'll be right. Cold. I'm the blue sky in the summer. I'm the colors of the fall. I'm the horses that you love most of all. And if you really want to feel me close to you, go and do the things we love to do. 'Cause the Spirit Rider's coming on a white horse through the sky. Give your horse a head and run him. Brother, don't ever ask why. I'm the angel on your shoulder. I'll be riding alongside you. You will always be my brother. Now I'm your Spirit Rider. Head and running, brother, don't ever ask why. I'm the angel on your shoulders. I'll be riding alongside you. You will always be my brother. Now I'm your Spirit Rider. Spirit
Rider from his latest CD by the same name, and Bren will be joining us on the Campfire Cafe in May, so we look forward to talking with Bren. But right now we're talking with Mitzi Stevens of Idle Nook Horse Camp in Bowles, Arkansas. And Mitzi, this is, I guess, going into about your sixth year?
Yes, we bought it in 08 and had our first ride for the public in spring of 2009.
Well, when you opened the campground, did you expect that you would meet as many different people and make as many friends as that you have over the last 6 years?
You know, there's no way. You absolutely, we have met the most wonderful people. Horse people are absolutely the best people. They are the most trustworthy people. They're fun to be around. They will make themselves happy, even if on those occasional rain days. You know, they're still fun. They'll come in that pavilion. We can all gather around there and have fun. No, we have made just, it is so worth it just to meet all the wonderful people that we've met.
You told me the other day that you have a little karaoke that goes on in that pavilion too.
We do. We have, if we are going to be there, which if there's a big group coming up, you know, we'll, and if they want it, we will sure bring it up, or you're welcome to bring your own. We have the stage up there. We're licensed. We're good to go with it. And people have, I don't know how we do it, but we will ride all day long, come back at night, and karaoke for a few hours. But on the other hand, we shut down quiet time about 10:15, so that we don't bother anybody.
Well, and do you ever get up there on the karaoke stage?
Yes, it's not pretty. I'm the one that if I get up there, then everybody else will say, well, I can't be any worse than that, so I can do it. And that's okay. it's all in fun.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's tell folks exactly where you're located.
Okay. We are, if you are coming from Hot Springs, you would go west on Highway 270. We are about 60 miles from Hot Springs, just straight on 270, all the way through Mount Ida, Pencil Bluff, You will cross in after you leave Pencil Bluff. You will cross into the Scott County line. We are from that sign. We are 3 miles, and we are. You'll see our sign that right there on the left. We are right on the highway. There's no dirt roads, hard areas to get to us. You can't see the campground from the highway, but our property borders it. We've left the trees all up there. You pull on up into camp, and you cannot see. All you see is mountains. You can't see the road at all, but we're very easy to get to. It's great. And then if you're and we can accommodate any size rig. There's not any that are too big. No problem there. We are, if you're coming from the other direction, like from Fort Smith, you'll just come on down Highway 71, and there right at Y City, where 71 and 270 intersect, you will turn left and head east from that direction, and we are about 8.5-9 miles on the right from that area. We're probably from Fort Smith. It's a little over an hour if you're pulling a trailer.
Okay.
And then there's Mena, Arkansas, which a lot of people are familiar with. They have a lot of shopping areas. We're about 30 minutes from them. They're the other direction from why. If you didn't turn there on to 270 to head our way and just went straight on 71, you would run into Mena.
Well, you know, there are always folks that maybe one spouse is not a trail rider and the other is looking for something to do. And there's plenty to do pretty close by to you, isn't there?
You bet. First of all, if we have a pond that borders our property, a huge Forest Service pond that people can fish in, you do need a fishing license, but you can fish there. Mena has antiques. A lot of people like to antique shop. Not far from our campground towards Mount Idaway is Washita Lake, which is very famous for boating and fishing, canoeing. The Washita River is not that far away. There is anything you could possibly want to do. We have shopping all within 30 minutes to an hour's drive. You have, if that far, you have anything you could want to do. Hot Springs has a Magic Springs that has a family theme park. If you're there in the summer and the kids want to take a break from horseback riding, they have the amusement park, and they also have a water park there. There's, of course, Hot Springs has, you know, bowling, anything you want to do, Hot Springs has. It's a tourist town. It's a national park.
Yeah. Well, and it's famous for its horse racing. Famous for its horse racing there. If you come in season,
it is.
Yeah, and you guys are open year-round, so people can make it to visit your place and still run out to the horse races if they want to.
You bet. We are about an hour away from them, so not too far at all.
Yeah, one of the big things that's always important to Tina and Taz, and Tina, you want to talk about that?
Are you talking food again?
No, we're talking dog friendly. You're a dog friendly cat.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You are dog friendly?
Yes, we love our dogs. We treat them as part of our family, and the only thing we ask is and dogs are more than welcome. And they always seem to get along well. But if we just ask if your dog does not stay at your campsite, you know, then please put him on a leash so he's not going bothering. Because every once in a while, someone else may not be quite as dog friendly. But we love them, and we don't really have a problem with that.
Well, usually, as a person that travels with my sidekick, which is my dog Taz, that is very appreciated. We appreciate that. And a lot of times I'll pick the places I go to see if they are dog friendly, because there's a lot of people that like to take the dogs with them, you know, while they're riding.
And we have, there's not a problem with that at all. And the dogs are very safe for your riding. There's only one area, most of the time you're not even near a road, so you don't have to worry about, you know, your dogs running out, you know, near the vehicle, because you're riding in the woods. Jack and I we don't like just your huge open road riding. We like more of the trail riding. So we're trying to just put more and more of that, you know, in. So we have the majority, we try to do that. So that's, you know, your dogs are safe when they're riding with you. You don't have to worry about
it. I just want to put it out there to people that want to bring their dogs, make sure you have a safe dog, because it's not just you and your dog. There's other people there. You don't want any kind of accidents to happen, and just kind of keep that in mind when you do bring a dog to a public place like this, and keep in mind, you know, with the campground and other people that may be there with their animals as well, because you do want a safe dog. But it is appreciative that you let us bring our dogs.
Oh, it is. Thank you. Oh, and another thing I forgot to mention a while ago, in our attractions that we have a cave there that was actually owned, that you can ride to. It was actually owned, or not owned, but the Indians could use it. In fact, there's a sign there that says, please don't take the artifacts. And it's just an amazing thing to see, because you can just imagine the Indians sitting up in that cave looking down below on the creek.
Oh, wow.
And all the wildlife. It is just really, and we have a website and our Facebook page, and we have pictures of all that on there.
Oh, that's
well. You have a beautiful website, and I really enjoyed taking a look at the photographs. You've got waterfalls and just an abundance of water out there. It's just a beautiful area to be able to get out and ride in, and. Since we're talking about the website, why don't you give us that web address for people?
Sure. It is idlenook.com, and that is spelled IDLENOOK, all one word, idlenook.com.
Okay.
And then we have a Facebook page, or that is, and it's Idlenook Horse Camp. So take a look at our Facebook page, and we've got tons of photos on there and videos.
Yeah, and I want to tell folks, I tried finding your Facebook page yesterday, and idle is one word and nook is one word. So don't try to put idle nook in, but it's two separate words. So it's
I'm
idle.
I'm glad you said that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes, on idle, Facebook page. Yeah.
Yeah, Idle Nook Horse Camp LLC. And, yeah, just great photographs. It, you know, you look at those pictures and you say, this is where I want to be. And, hospitable folks. You know, another thing that I want to mention too, because the campground is just going into its sixth year, you shared with us yesterday, Mitzi, that there really wasn't anything there before you opened up, so everything is relatively new.
It is. When we bought that property, like I said, it wasn't with the intent to do the horse camp. It was just an open grassy field. There was not one single solitary horseback trail, but you know, they all got to start. Every single trail out there started somewhere.
Right.
So we just helped them along. And we've had some wonderful friends that we couldn't have done it without them, that have helped us do all this.
All right. Well, are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave with our audience?
Well, we would just love to have everybody give us a call, come see us, look at our Facebook page and our web page. We do require that you do reservations. We wouldn't want you to make a trip and the campground be full that weekend. And we do assign spots. Everybody's assigned a spot number. We have a bulletin board in the pavilion there. We would just love for you to come see us.
All right.
And it is some beautiful riding in Arkansas. It's a gorgeous place to ride.
Well, thank you very much. We love it.
When you look at the pictures, when you visit their website and their Facebook page, and again, that's idlenook.com, you're going to take a look and you're going to say, this is my bucket list place for this year. So, Mitzi, we want to thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Talk with you soon.
All right.
Bye, Mitzi.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Tina May, this has been a fun show.
It's been an informative show. Yes, it has.
It has been, and, you know, it's kind of neat that you and Robert don't always agree on everything, but it gives people something to think about, and the big thing is that as people are hitting the trails this spring, they need to make sure that they're staying safe, not only for themselves, but for their animals, and take the appropriate precautions so that you can get out and enjoy your ride and come back home safely.
Absolutely. Safety is so important. Safety should come first in all things that you do, but especially trail riding. You're on a live animal, for one. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and safety precautions is a must.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, a lot of fun talking with Robert and great information from him today. And Mitzi just sounds like a really neat lady to get to meet and visit Idle Nook Horse Camp in Bowles, Arkansas. And her website, again, is idlenook.com, and visit them on Facebook as well. There is so much fun stuff coming up on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And who do we have joining us next week?
Well, next week we have Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Reserve, New Mexico, and talk with Preston Bates, owner of N Bar Ranch.
All right. Well, that is the Land of Enchantment out in New Mexico and one of my favorite parts of the country. So we look forward to talking with him next week. And always a joy to talk and visit with Susanna. So we look forward to that show next Tuesday at noon Central Time. This Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we have kind of a special show. We're going to be doing a live broadcast from the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival in its 22nd year. And our co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, will be out there, and we'll be talking with some really great entertainers and find out a little bit about the history of the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. And that's coming up this Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe. And then always we have... Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got a great show that's coming up with Belinda Gale on Sunday with Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And always have a good show on Saturdays for Saddle Up Saturday. And so that begins at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning. So a lot of great shows that are coming up. We're excited about the Equestrian Legacy Radio Trail Riding Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. As I said earlier in the show, we're only about 6 weeks away, and so we would encourage you to make your reservations now. We've got folks coming from all over the country. There's going to be great music, great food. We've got Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy National Championship that's going to be going on during the day, and with over 120 miles of trails to ride at the Circle E Guest Ranch, it's just going to be a lot of fun. And all of that is to raise money to help children with brittle bone disease. You can find out more about that event at equestrianlegacy.net, and you can make reservations right from there. On Friday and Saturday night, Tina May, the concerts are going to be open to the general public. And so tickets are on sale now. You can purchase your advance tickets at our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And on Friday night, we have Templeton Thompson that's headlining that show, and she'll be joined by Stephanie Lane and the Sawdust Brothers. And then on Saturday night, the legendary Michael Martin Murphy will be in concert. And then we'll wrap things up with Cowboy Church on Sunday morning and give thanks to our Maker for a great weekend and for all the blessings that we have. And Wayne Holt will be speaking, and Mike and Doris Merritt, a very talented duo, from Oklahoma, will be coming in and providing the music for that. And you know, one of the unusual things, Tina May, is that all of our artists, all of the performers, are going to be there for the entire week. And so you can ride the trails with these folks. You can come and visit with them at Equestrian Legacy Radio's booth. And there are going to be a lot of vendors there for some great shopping. So it's just going to be a great 3.5 days of a lot of fun, and all again to help kids that have brittle bone disease. So visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, get those reservations in, and I promise you're going to have a great time in addition to meeting Tina May. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
And Gary Hope.
Yep, I'll be there as well. And
I just want to encourage people not to wait. We are filling up. This is going to be a very fun-filled week. Lots to do, lots to see and enjoy besides the trails. Plus, you get a discounted rate at this campground with the trails. And for $50 donation, the concerts, everything, the food sounds amazing. But don't wait. I'd hate for it to fill up and people not be able to make it, because it is filling up. We're getting people from all over, and it's for a great cause.
Well, that's true, and the cabins there have been gone since the first day, and
wow.
there are some people that are coming in. If they don't have living quarter trailers, there are some area hotels that are close by, and
mm-hmm.
and so you can stay in a hotel and stable your horse there. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So visit the
mm-hmm.
website again at equestrianlegacy.net and plan on being with us for that. So anyway, a lot of fun today, a lot of good information, and you've probably got a closing thought or two, Tina May.
Well, I just really want to encourage folks to look up thetrailmeister.com. He's got a wonderful guide and trail directory for traveling, for places to kind of find out a little bit about them. It's pretty neat. And you can also go to our select campgrounds as well.
That's right. That's right. Well, we've got a lot of great campgrounds that are listed on our website. And if you're a Legacy
mm-hmm.
Club member, you get a discount or a special offer from all of those campgrounds. So
check
Absolutely. Them out. And we've got campgrounds right now all across the country. So from east
mm-hmm.
to west, you'll find a place that you can stay and enjoy the hospitality of those folks. So anyway, it's been
Battle
a fun show.
Giddy up.
Saddle up and giddy up. That's right. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been a fun show, and we look forward to next week with our great guest, and always enjoy visiting with Tina May. And we want to remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world at equestrianlegacy.net. And, Tina, we're going to close the show out with one of your favorite artists, and that's Lacey J. Dalton's great mm-hmm. song, Listen to the Wind. Thanks for listening.
Wonderful.
Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you'll hear I'm saying that what goes round will come around again. Listen to the wind. Everybody needs somebody to see them through. Everybody needs someone like I need you. I need you. Had a lover out in Santa Cruz, but I left him to sing the blues. Listen to the wind. 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 Ha. Ha.
The end, and that will be the beginning.